Going to begin on campus, where UNC has been implementing new safety measures in the wake of the fatal shooting of a professor in August. Among other things, the university has signed a contract for license plate readers with the surveillance company Flock Safety, sparking another round of that old debate between security and personal privacy. With more on that story, here's Carolina Connection's Taylor Holbrooks.
Even before the August 28th shooting, UNC had been negotiating to order license plate readers from Flock Safety, a private technology provider based in Atlanta. But the deal was not finalized. Now UNC has contracted with the company to install 23 license plate reader cameras around campus. Interim Chancellor Lee Roberts says the cameras are a part of a campus-wide safety evaluation.
We've talked a lot about license plate readers and the ability to use technology to determine who's driving on and off of our campus. So that's technology that's in place in several other schools in the UNC system. And I think that would be well advised to implement here.
Here at the Moorhead Planetarium and Science Center, one of UNC's parking lots sits right off Franklin Street, one of the town's busiest roads. UNC Media Relations has stated that for safety reasons, they will not reveal where cameras are going to be installed. But when the cameras are placed around campus, they will capture license plates, vehicle details, and even bumper stickers. This data is stored and accessible to law enforcement for 30 days before being hard deleted. Holly Beelan is the Director of Communications at Flock Safety and a Tar Heel alumna. She says that UNC's decision to install LPR technology will be a step in the right direction to make campus as secure as it can be.
License plate readers are not a be-all, end-all solution to gun violence, and nobody is saying that they are. They are one piece of a comprehensive crime prevention and public safety package that Flock Safety can offer to universities.
But civil liberties advocates and others say the cameras infringe on people's rights, and they question whether the devices can really prevent crime. Chad Marlowe is a senior policy counsel at the ACLU. He says Flock surveillance measures on campus threaten the privacy and security of students, as well as other people on campus, by watching their day-to-day lives.
Those license plate readers are not only identifying and tracking cars, they're identifying and tracking students. And if they're putting them all over your campus, they can actually track where you're driving.
Marlowe says that implementing LPR technology will not prevent gun-related violence.
They've committed to bringing surveillance to your campus to address a problem that surveillance is not capable of addressing, and in so doing, has actually brought an increased level of danger to people on campus by the surveillance they're choosing to use through Flock.
The danger Marlowe is talking about is UNC's campus losing its right to privacy. Lauren Sarkeesian is an expert in electronic surveillance and tech privacy issues. She says that in order for UNC to implement this Flock safety system, law enforcement has to establish adequate privacy safeguards.
That data can be used to paint like a pretty intimate picture of a driver's life. Since it's tracking location and activity over time, that technology can reveal who visits sensitive places like women's health clinics or immigration clinics or certain places of worship.
UNC's campus overlaps with some of the busiest parts of the town of Chapel Hill, meaning that Flock's LPR technology not only impacts people on campus, but also residents and visitors of the town. So is the possibility of stopping crime worth sacrificing the privacy of the community?
License plate readers can serve a really legitimate law enforcement purpose, but they should be used in a tailored fashion and with privacy safeguards in place.
Beelan says that the safety and security of individuals on and around campus is the highest priority for Flock to uphold.
I think it's a really important concern. And so then you just think about, well, what's that data being used for and where's it going? And the answer is pretty categorically nothing and nowhere. UNC Chapel Hill has a policy where this data is only for solving crime. If someone that should not be on campus is entering campus or is around campus, or if a crime does occur so they can use it for investigative purposes.
UNC Media Relations stated that the license plate readers are scheduled to be installed by the beginning of the fall 2024 semester. The readers and installation will cost $83,950, and the university will also pay an annual fee of $69,000 in each of the next 2 years. In Chapel Hill, I'm Taylor Holbrooks.
For Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media that airs Saturday mornings at 8:30 on 97.9 The Hill. In Raleigh, oral arguments today at the state Supreme Court over a defamation case stemming from the gubernatorial election in 2016. Republican Pat McCrory lost that election, and in the aftermath, some GOP officials filed official protest petitions against four voters whom they accused of voting twice. They had not voted twice, as it turned out, and they've sued their accusers for defamation. The defendants say they had legal immunity while making the claims. Plaintiffs say granting total immunity allows bad actors to intimidate voters or out distrust in democracy. Meanwhile, current Governor Roy Cooper will greet the Prime Minister of Japan when he arrives at RDU later today. The Prime Minister's wife will be visiting Chapel Hill High School on Friday, meeting with a Japanese teacher there and visiting her classroom to speak with students. In local government, a pair of meetings tonight. First, the Chapel Hill Town Council's naming committee is meeting virtually at 4 p.m. to discuss a petition asking the town to rename Cameron Avenue after civil rights attorney Paul Murray. The street is currently named after Paul Cameron, who was a major donor to UNC, but also one of North Carolina's largest slaveholders at the start of the Civil War. The Chapel Hill Carrboro School Board also meets tonight, 6 p.m. in the Lincoln Center. Their agenda includes a public hearing on next year's budget. It is budget season for local governments in general, not just the school boards, but also towns and counties. Karen Howard is on the Chatham County Board of Commissioners, and she recently spoke with 97.9 The Hill about where they are in their process.
We've gotten some updated input from both the sheriff and Chatham County Schools. So commissioners have some new information to look at. And we are expecting that we will have a few presentations between April and May that really dive deep into, you know, the things that we can and cannot do, depending on the appetite of the commissioners to increase revenues and to, you know, take proactive steps to meet the demand, the increasing demand of a developing and growing county. And then we have to have our budget passed by the end of June, and we are usually very good with that. Our budget public hearings are in May. And then we will be ready to make that decision and adopt a budget for next year.
That's Chatham County Commissioner Karen Howard there. You can get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. And visit Chapel Borough for more local news, including reactions from local government leaders to the new PFAS forever chemical restrictions announced by the federal government earlier this week. 6:21 your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by the Sheraton Chapel Hill. Carolina softball team got a win last night, 11-9 over Longwood. Isabella Emmerling, the hero, she led the way with three hits and five RBIs. She now has 50 RBIs on the season, most for a Tar Heel since 2017. UNC's back in action this weekend on the road at Pitt starting tomorrow. Elsewhere in sports, spring practice continues for the Tar Heel football team, but one UNC player is out. Edge rusher Kamen Rucker will have to miss the rest of the spring season with a ruptured tendon on his right middle finger. He had surgery on Monday to correct that. He is expected to be fully recovered by the fall. Off the field, congrats to Noah Burnett, Christopher Holiday, Spencer Rowland, and Spencer Triplett. They all got named this week to the National Football Foundation's Hampshire Honor Society. That honor goes to graduating players who maintained at least a 3.2 GPA throughout their college careers. They're not the only Tar Heels earning academic honors this week. Congrats also to the 34 UNC swimmers and divers who got named to the All-ACC academic team, led by grad student Alex Hart, who earned All-ACC academic honors for the fifth time in his career. Boyd Pelkey and Ellie Van Note are just behind him with four. Also in the pool, a big honor for Tar Heel diver Aranza Vasquez Montaño. She's been named as one of three finalists for this year's Honda Sport Award for swimming and diving. The winner will be a finalist for the overall Honda Sport Award, which goes to the National Women's Athlete of the Year across all sports. And finally, in baseball, the Durham Bulls fell to Lehigh Valley last night, 3-2. That series continues in Pennsylvania tonight at 6:45.